lot tied up inside.
All right, hello and welcome back for a long delayed episode of This Conversation Rocks.
Episode 17.
I was going to say, I'm not even sure what number it is.
Of course, we have a couple of lost episodes out there, but we're working on getting those up.
We are, and we have a new editor, which is going to be part of my, oh, by the way, so I'll talk about that later. I'm Diane from Willow, Alaska, and I sound like I am in an empty room because I am.
And I'm Todd from Los Angeles, and I just sound like I'm from Los Angeles.
So I'm not quite in Podcast Central yet. The sound is going to be better when I'm in Podcast Central, but right now I'm sitting in my brand new main room surrounded by beautiful things. Not many, but beautiful. And oh man, it's really nice.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we going tonight?
Well, we're kind of all over the map tonight, but I think we're going to start with me being just totally pissed off at the way that the media handled the Democratic debate recently.
All right, so what were your complaints?
Well, so you know that my Facebook page is like the All Bernie All the Time channel now.
Right.
Unless there's talk about vaginas, dogs, or horses.
Yes.
I actually didn't get a chance to watch the debate. I watched some clips because I couldn't find any place that was streaming the debate that, you know, those of us who are lame and don't have cable could actually watch. And, you know, Wasilla, like, going to a sports bar to watch the debate.
Oh, God, that would have been a riot.
It would have been a riot, but people would have freaked out, man. So for people who don't know Wasilla, Alaska, like the one listener who may be listening to us in Osage, California, or
one of the Carolinas. Sarah Palin.
Exactly, home of Sarah Palin. So if I had walked into a sports bar and put on the Democratic debate, I probably would have left in an ambulance.
I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of closet Dems up there.
I have found a handful, but they are far, few and far between.
Sure, but Alaska, the only state in 1994 that elected a Democratic governor, while the rest of the country was voting Republicans in all over the place.
Well, there you go.
You guys are. I mean, it's been 20 years, but you know, you guys. Are,
21, but who's counting?
You know, it could go back around.
Oh God, that's really funny.
Okay, so anyway, so back to the media, and so I'm gonna bet that the first thing that struck you as odd was this declaration that Hillary had won the debate.
You know, that was a little disturbing. And then I opened up Huffington Post today because, you know, I just kind of looked there for my liberal media. And the headline was, "The Path Clears." And it was a big picture of Hillary Clinton. And it was the article about Joe Biden saying that he was not going to seek the presidency.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, not only did Hillary Clinton win the debate hands down, but now that Joe Biden has backed out of the race for the Democratic nomination, apparently there are no barriers between Hillary and the nomination. None whatsoever.
But she was in the same boat last time and then lost to Obama.
No shit.
So, I mean, let's first and foremost not panic yet.
Oh, I'm not panicking. I'm just pissed. Yeah, but there's a difference.
The thing is, well, they didn't cover Obama. You know, either right. Until all of a sudden, like, holy shit, this guy's winning primaries. Well, now we got to cover him. Damn it.
You know, and I think that Bernie is kind of going through a similar thing because they're kind of like, yeah, we don't want to cover this socialist Jew with the crazy hair. But, you know, he's drawing these gigantic crowds, so they kind of don't have a choice.
Well, that's exactly it. But, you know, the thing is there's a narrative, right?
Right.
And the narrative is it's Hillary's turn.
Sure.
And it's a nonsensical narrative because, you know, we have what is called a democracy and we have things that are known as elections.
Well, kind of. Yeah, sort of. No, when people get off their asses and go to the voting booth, yeah.
Right. Well, and in this thing called a democracy with these things called elections, occasionally you even actually get a legitimate outcome. But, yeah, the narrative, the media narrative from day one has been Hillary, Hillary, Hillary.
Well, and you know, so here's the deal. I get it. I've got a vagina. She's got a vagina. I would love to see a vagina haver have office, the big office. But I'd rather have someone who's qualified and has a penis.
Well, exactly. But you know, the thing is, though, that wasn't where I was going at all. What I was going to say is that, you know, the Clinton machine has spent a long time in Washington,
right,
building relationships with the press. Right.
Oh, and I'm there. And I hear you.
Relationship is access. And I mean, it's all about incentives, right? And unfortunately, the press is no different than the rest of us in that we can be bought.
Yeah.
You know, and the way you're bought is, hey, if you are favorable towards us, you get first run interviews, you get breaking news stories before everybody else. Blah, 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 right? And then, you know, the Washington Press Corps, I hate to say it, is the biggest fucking joke. I mean, other than sports casters. but yeah, the Washington media, White House, Congress, and stuff, yeah, generally, they like to hear themselves say, hey, we're reporting that Hillary has already won the election.
And, you know, that's really what they've done. But I got to tell you, so here's what bothered me. It didn't bother me that CNN said she won. I was kind of ticked that MSNBC said she won, but it is part of their narrative. But fucking NPR said she won.
Okay, but you have probably realized in the past 10 or so years that NPR ain't what it used to be.
I know. It's still better than nothing, but I agree.
But, I mean, I tell you, every time I turn on NPR, I cringe because I'm listening to social hip conversations about stuff. And I don't want to hear social hip conversation. I want to hear in-depth fucking news reporting, guys.
You don't want to hear how to trim your man bun?
I don't even know what the fuck you just said.
It's a new hipster thing. The guys are all growing their hair out and wearing them as buns. It's kind of disturbing, actually.
That's just weird, man. And I say that having worn plastic pants in the 80s.
And Robert Smith hair, right?
Now, you know, I never could get it to actually do the Robert Smith thing, but...
Okay, the eye makeup.
Yeah, I had the wrong hairstylist.
Yeah, okay. So back to Bernie, though. So, but here is what I want to say about our corrupt media, okay? So there was a really good article in US Uncut, usuncut.com, and the article is basically why Bernie Sanders won. He was the most talked about candidate on Facebook.
Right.
He actually won the US News live blog poll. 82% of the people who participated in that poll said he won.
Completely unscientific, as it was.
Completely unscientific, but so were all the other polls that were done, sure, including the ones where they declared that Hillary won.
Oh, right, because you know, the CNN stuff or whatever, right? You get that's the 20 guys you had in the room, right? The next right. 20 guys could have said something completely different. Non-representational polls should not be reportable.
You know, I have to admit, like, stuff like the internet is not necessarily representational because, you know, we choose to get on there and we choose to share our opinions, right? Like this whole podcast thing. And
to us?
But here's the other stuff. So he was mentioned 400,000 times on Twitter. The night of the debate, Bernie Sanders got almost 50,000 new followers, whereas Hillary Clinton picked up 25,000 new followers.
Right.
He got 1.3 million dollars in post debate donations.
Right, in like 5 days.
But what I'm telling you, man, is that that's not the sign of Hillary's inevitability.
Oh no. No, there is nothing inevitable here. And yes, the story today, the path clears. It presupposes again that Hillary is supposed to win this thing, which, again, nobody here is convinced of. And second, and probably more importantly, really overvalued Joe Biden a little bit there.
Well, I agree. I mean, I really like Joe Biden. Don't get me wrong. I like his narrative. I like his history. We share some values. But
But who was gonna?
I would have never. Yeah, I mean, he would not have been my first choice for the presidency. Period.
Right. I mean, who was he gonna tap for donations that Hillary already hasn't hit?
Exactly.
So.
The other thing that I wanted to say, and I thought this was super interesting, is that I looked up the percentage of support for the Democratic candidates. So Bernie has actually gained 5% since mid-September.
Okay.
Hillary does still lead, according to the percentages that they looked at on the night of the debates. So here's the percentage of support among registered Democrats on the night of the debates. Hillary, 45%. Sanders, 29%. Biden, 18%. So who's getting Joe's 18%? Because I'm thinking that it's probably not all going to go to Hillary.
It'll get divided.
Yep. And then the other four, which is kind of sad, Webb, O'Malley, Lessig, and Chafee, they add up to about 4% total.
I'm sorry, the other four? How do we keep adding people to the bottom there? Right. There was somebody you just mentioned who wasn't at the debate.
I think that was probably Lessig.
Right. And of course, yeah. Webb dropped out yesterday.
Oh, I missed that.
Or today. And because Biden decided not to run. So
right, so it was kind of overshadowed. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, somebody asked me the other day, like, that guy's a fucking Republican, isn't he? And I'm like, well, no, but he used to be.
He used to be, but you know, the interesting thing is, I've been listening to him because I was super interested in him in, oh, was it 28 or 2012? One of the years that he ran, I want to say he ran in 28 or 2008, because I was interested in him before I ultimately ended up voting against Hillary and for Barack. But he was not so hawkish, and he's kind of come back in this new incarnation as a little bit more hawkish. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, he was trying to score points.
Yeah, I know.
Not realizing that the liberal contention isn't actually into killing people.
Generally not. Every once in a while, Throat Punch Thursday is my favorite day, but generally not.
You do realize that would be TPT.
I don't care.
And it is actually TBT.
It still works better as Throat Punch Thursday, trust me.
Okay.
And my life has become Sex Toy Monday, so, but we'll get there in a little bit. Back to Bernie.
Okay.
So, one other point that I thought was really interesting about the debate is that it was his first chance to really introduce himself to a broader group. And there were 15.3 million viewers, which I listened to a report. Can't remember where I heard it. I think it might have been the Rachel Maddow show. But the debates that were held with Barack and Hillary back in 2008 had like half the viewership. So there's a lot more interest and a lot more active viewership in the current debates, which I think is good. I think that's healthy.
I agree. I totally agree. And it's interesting that we're seeing that kind of a swing towards more interest in the debates, which is good.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that much of it might be because of the clown car across the aisle.
Right,
but
I agree.
But that's okay. But here's some things, though, about the debate that are far more interesting to me than the narrative or anything else, right? First of all, after the debate, just a couple days ago, the Pew Research Center said they're no longer going to be polling on this stuff because they've determined that the polls are useless.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean, that's really important to understand that because basically all this crap is, and it's lazy journalism because you can have a narrative and just quote some polls or whatever, right? And that's just lazy-ass journalism.
Yeah.
And Pew Research decided they didn't want to be involved in lazy-ass journalism
anymore. Wow, that's profound.
I know, and it's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah. You can tell I've been like off the news for a couple of days between work and trying to get stuff done around the house.
I've just been driving myself completely batshit and thought I'd just listen to the news to add to that.
I'm telling you, dude, is it peace or is it Prozac? You need to up the Prozac. That's a song by Cheryl Wheeler, by the way. I may have to upload that to the box.
Tequila. Anyway, where was I?
Talking about Pew, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I thought that was really, really great. And then the other thing I was just going to say about the debates was that, so talk about some numbers of actual value as far as I'm concerned. everything stated at the Democratic debate was judged by Politico to be either true or mostly true.
Which is pretty amazing when you look at what you said, the clown car on the other side of the aisle.
Right, where most of the stuff, you know, most of the stuff from the Republican debates is rated as false or pants on fire.
Just someday, I want to see somebody's pants catch on fire. I really do.
You know, so let's keep having debates between Hillary and Bernie. Here's where I'm going to be concerned about Bernie, though. It's down the road, because he's not nearly enough of a demagogue. He's an intellectual.
Yeah.
He is saying, hey, here are the problems. Let me show you the problems. Let's talk about the problems. And at the end of the day, the people are going to vote for not the person who can identify the problems, but the person who's saying, fuck the problems. I'm going to fix them.
Right. I mean, he's definitely our Howard Zinn, Noam Chomsky
right.
candidate.
You know,
absolutely.
I totally want to vote for this guy, but, you know, he's going to need to pick up his game at some point.
I just think, you know, I think he's got an interesting shot. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of people that I know here who do not share my political beliefs, who are still interested in Bernie and still parroting some of the stuff that Bernie has to say. And not just parroting it, but attributing it to him.
Yeah, no, because the funniest part about all of this is the middle class and certainly the lower class economic stratus here.
Right, the people who always vote Republican.
Hey, I've been convinced that they should be voting Republican. And it's like, you guys have been fucking yourselves for years. What the hell? You know, and so now they're saying something that, like, basically the Tea Party would like to say that that's what they're saying, but the Tea Party's so fucked up.
Which we'll talk about a little bit more in the race for the Senate Majority Leader, House Majority Leader, House Speaker, Majority.
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House. Whatever. You're the political guy. I'm just the one who bitches.
Okay. But anyway, so, you know, I think Bernie's chances remain very solid.
Yeah.
I think nothing else happened this week in the Democratic stuff to really change the equation any way, shape, or form. Oh, that was the other thing I was going to say, though, is that there's another reason, though, that the press doesn't cover Bernie, and that is because Bernie for 20 years has been openly hostile to him. He doesn't like the press because he wants to talk about policy and the press doesn't want to talk about policy.
Right.
They're lazy. And right. he makes it clear to the press that he thinks they're lazy. And of course, if you go around making it clear that you don't like people, they kind of stop paying attention to you.
God, is that my problem at work?
You know, this comment wasn't about you, but
but if I want to make it about me,
if the boot fits, feel free to lace that motherfucker up.
Okay, so I'm going to say two more things about Bernie, and then we can move on. So one of the other things that I saw today when I was looking at stuff is that someone made the comment that he's the candidate of change and Hillary is not. So I think that definitely is on his side.
Yeah, because the thing I hear the most from other people is that it's a Clinton. It's the Clinton years
right.
all over again. And
right, and people don't want to do Clinton and Bush all over again, or at least we're hoping they don't.
Well, Jeb's done. But anyway.
And the other thing is, and I never thought I'd be quoting Jim Morrison on our show, but Jim Morrison made a really good point. He said, whoever controls the media controls the mind. So that's something that we need to change.
I thought Jim Morrison said, no one here gets out alive.
No, that was Robert Heinlein. The supreme irony of life is that no one gets out alive.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's my hating on the media. I'm just really angry with the media right now.
I know what I was going to say. The other thing, though, is that, I mean, again, you know, we don't have a free press in that, you know, it's truly open and competitive and everything. What we have is an oligarchy in the media. We have for years and years, and it's just gotten worse. Consolidation.
And we do, I was going to say, and we do see that because the ownership of individual media groups is narrowing and narrowing as they're bought up by big groups.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's been going on for decades. But I would say, though, just caution people that that doesn't mean that you should necessarily turn to anything on the internet. because I saw something the other day, which was this news story purporting that divers in the Red Sea had found the remains of Pharaoh's army.
Oh, dear God. I really need to get on the internet more, and I never thought I would say that either.
Well, because we need to start building stuff for Conspiracy 2.
Very good. You're going to keep that filed away somewhere, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
The worst part was it was a guy I know who posted it, but without context, I couldn't really tell if he was posting it because he thought it was hilariously funny because it was a joke.
Oh, dear.
Or if he thought it was fucking awesome because
Pharaoh's army had been found and thus right. validated the biblical story.
Right.
So did you ever figure out the context?
Fuck no. I don't ask questions when it comes down to that with you know, guys that I don't know. You know, if I know you well enough to ask you about your religious beliefs, I'm
you're
going to
know anyway. Yeah.
I'm your Facebook posts aren't going to confuse me. All right.
Okay, so, do you want to talk about the house, or do you want to talk about American sexual mores?
Well, we can talk about American sexual mores.
All right.
I'm gonna say though that like this could be several hours worth of episodes in and of itself. So.
Well, and I suspect that it probably will be at some point. I'm sure that we're going to touch on this subject again, but right. I just needed to share a few observations about how I spend Monday night.
All right, how did you spend Monday night?
So I did something I haven't done since I was 13, which I'm ashamed to say that when I was 13, I snuck into a Chippendale show with my older, much older cousins. And that is the first and only time up until Monday night that I went to an all-male review. But some crazy friends of mine here in the beautiful Matsu Valley in Alaska decided that they wanted to go and see this all-male review. And so I went with them, and it was fucking hilarious. I mean, and hilarious in terms of joyful, also hilarious in terms of watching the crowd and just kind of taking it all in. But I walked out, and my impression was, you motherfuckers who say you're so conservative about sex, you're a bunch of liars.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, the thing that was super interesting is that in this extraordinarily conservative community, apparently as long as you are paying for a semi-clad bump and grind, it's okay.
Oh, right, right.
So, you know, that just really got me thinking because I was watching all these chicks grinding against these dancers, and I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed a couple of them rubbing up a little close to me. Most of them are chicks that go to church on Sunday, that would condemn people for having values like yours or mine, you know, that would say that they're saving themselves for marriage, yada, yada, yada. And they're like all over these guys. I was the cheapskate. I had the dollar bills, man. They were paying for the lap dances, so.
Yep.
So I did a little looking, because I am opening a business where I'm going to start doing some of those sex toy parties on the side, which I think will be kind of fun. And I found out some...
There goes a third of our listenership.
Right. Bye, everybody. sorry. For those of you who are sticking around, pureromance.com. Who knows? You know, we might actually build some listenership.
Dinner.
Anyway, but so I looked up some data and I thought this was super interesting. So the sex toy industry, just sex toys alone in America, $15 billion a year. 44% of women between the ages of 18 and 60 admit that they have used a sex toy at some point in their lives. And 20% of women say that they masturbate at least once a week. And married women are 2 times more likely to incorporate a vibrator into their sex lives than unmarried women. I think that's super interesting.
Which just tells you everything about the reality of marriage.
Well, but it also tells you everything about the reality of sex in America that people aren't talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Because what people are really talking about is, you know, let's defund Planned Parenthood, let's vote for these guys who are good family values guys, let's go to this mega church because Ted Haggard is the best guy in the world. Yeah, I know, that's old news, but I'm capping on it anyway. So it's just really interesting to me that we are such hypocrites.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that this is old news. I know that American hypocrisy about sexuality is old news, but it was just really, really interesting to look at that and to kind of be amused, but also a little bit of an impartial observer on Monday when I went to the show.
Yeah. Yep.
So, couple more things, and then we can leave this. You don't have to stay on this with me if you don't want to. But the top 10 states where sex toys are purchased, I am happy to say that Alaska made number 2 on that list.
Well, it's, you know.
But, you know, the interesting thing is they're mostly conservative states. So 1
of
through 10.
They are.
Yeah. And again, I mean, here we go. 1 through 10. Wyoming, Alaska, North Dakota, Montana, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, West Virginia, Idaho, and South Dakota. Now, how many of those states have liberal governors or representatives to Congress?
Some, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just, you know, I'm just pointing out some hypocrisy. I'm just going to kind of leave it here, right? You know?
No, I'm totally cool with what you're saying. And I just, I got to laugh because, I mean, isn't it always that way? When you start looking at the numbers, conservative states are freaky as hell.
Well, you know, and it's just that they hide it better.
Yeah.
They don't even hide it better. They just try to hide it.
Right.
You know, and I'll tell you, it's funny because, and I don't want to insult any of my patients because God knows one of my favorite things to do is to actually get a patient to open up about his or her sex life and work with them on improving it. But I actually have patients who are pretty conservative who will say, the main reason I come to you is because you're the only person who will talk to me about this. And I think that is a tremendous honor for me, but it's also incredibly sad. I mean, it makes me sad that people have to find the four sacred walls of a medical office to talk to somebody they don't know about something that should be as joyful and as personal as their sex lives.
Completely agree.
So one more little, well, a few more little factoids that kind of blend politics and sexual mores in America, and then I swear, unless you have something to say, I'll leave it alone for right now.
Okay.
So I went to a website called consumerist.com because I had always heard that the states that consume the most pornography in the United States are red states.
Yeah, it's true.
And in fact, number 1 is Utah. Here we go, Alaska. Number 2 again is Alaska. Number 3 is Mississippi. So that's where the most porn is purchased and accessed. Interestingly enough, they have found out, there was a Harvard researcher who did a study. This guy's name was Ben Edelman. He actually found out that higher consumption of porn correlates with states that have enacted conservative legislation about sexuality.
Oh, yeah, because you're basically preventing people from freely exercising their rights as adults.
Right. You're essentially cutting off their access,
right.
You know. So they have to find it in less legitimate ways.
Yep.
So the other thing that I thought was interesting is this guy, Ben Edelman, also looked at the blue state versus red state divide. So blue states are more likely to Google adult escort sites. Red states are more likely to Google sites about wife swapping, webcamming, and voyeurism. I'm not quite sure what that says, but I just
thought it was super interesting.
Let's not read too much into it. Yeah, it was some interesting research. And, you know, basically, again, I just want to say, all you motherfuckers who say you're so conservative about sex, you're liars.
Well, not all of them, but most of
them. I mean, I do think Rick Santorum is miserable and could probably stand a blowjob, which I am not offering. But,
God.
But, you know, truthfully, really truthfully, I think that a lot of people talk a conservative game and are the people who are on the wife swapping websites at night. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so pureromance.com.
Yeah, pureromance.com. You can do a book party or you can have me come to your home. But I'm only selling toys.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll report back. I'll let you know how the first party goes. I may scare people to death.
Okay.
Okay, onward and maybe upward. I'm not really sure. So, speaker watch. I'm going to let you introduce this one because I think you've been paying closer attention to it than I have. And okay, I'll just chime in.
All right, so basically...
And I'm sorry, everybody. There are still dogs barking in the background. It's the deaf dog. I don't know how to shut the deaf dog up.
That anybody knows, please send that to Diane.
Care of Brian Williams.
So, speaker watch. Right, okay, so... just a quick recap. In the last month, Speaker Boehner
found God after talking to Pope Francis.
Well, he'd already had God, but God got with him.
God got serious.
Yeah, and so Speaker Boehner decided that it was time for him to resign from Congress. There's a lot of understanding that that had to do with the fact that he's tired of the so-called Freedom Caucus.
I definitely have the Freedom Caucus on my list to talk about, so I'm glad you brought them up.
Right, which is the Tea Party wing.
Right.
And the problems that they have been causing, because they are basically... Because
they don't want to play the game.
No, they believe that politics is all about winning every single time, all the time. And, you know, and we're willing to shut down the government over funding Planned Parenthood. Which is complete nonsense.
Because apparently the money and time that we lost last year wasn't a big enough lesson.
For the Tea Party, no amount of money would ever be a big enough lesson.
unless it's spent at Planned Parenthood.
These people are truly, truly a problem for Congress, but more of a problem for Speaker Boehner. So he announced that he was going to resign. Then the guy that they all thought would follow him, Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California, he failed to have the support necessary, which has basically meant that Boehner can't resign yet.
Which is hilarious, right? So Boehner is stuck until they find a replacement, even though he wants out.
Right, but the beautiful thing is that because of all this, the government's still open.
Yeah, that is true. Yes. I have to agree with you there.
Right, so it's just been this weird thing. So now Paul Ryan... former VP candidate and all-around Republican with the Wienermobile, right? anyway, he said that he will take the job only if he has the complete and total support of the Freedom Caucus, which, of course, he will not get the utter complete support of the Freedom Caucus because they think he's an establishment Republican.
Can we back up to the guy from California for just 30 seconds?
What, McCarthy?
Yeah, because, you know, my understanding is that the main reason that he withdrew his name is because he was not able to withdraw from his mistress.
I've not heard that.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to throw that in there because of some of the other conversation we're having tonight. And I'm not making it up. I actually read it on some credible news sources.
All right.
I can hear your keyboard going off like crazy in the background.
Well, you're interfering with my narrative. let's see what we get here. Kevin McCarthy and Mistress. Google, waiting on Google.
Dr. Google.
Ah, okay.
Fair?
Well, I don't know. Daily,
sort of fair.
All right, the LA Times seems to have it, so... ABC News. Yeah, because I get really concerned, though, like when the first one up is Daily Mail.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing, though. It's not 100% confirmed, right? But here we go again. Family values guy, good conservative guy, never misstep, doesn't support women's choice, doesn't support women's rights, has to refuse a job because he's fucking somebody he shouldn't be fucking.
Yeah, well, you know, I got nothing.
I mean,
it's just known as the Republican Party.
Well, I, you know, and to be fair, it's known as the Democratic Party too, because we can't forget Elliot Spitzer, we can't forget Anthony Weiner.
First of all, though, I want to clarify: it wasn't that Weiner was fucking people that he wasn't supposed to.
That's true. He was just sending dick pics,
right? But he didn't claim to be a moral and upstanding guy.
And I don't think Elliot Spitzer did in terms of sexuality, just in terms of busting people for other crimes, like drug crimes.
Oh, no, no. Spitzer's entire problem was that he made a name for himself busting up prostitution rings.
Ah, all right. That's why fair. I'll take that.
And so, again, wasn't necessarily about, you know, his moral standing or anything, but the truth of the matter is that you cannot be a public do-gooder busting up prostitution rings when you frequent
when you're
them.
Calling them on the side.
You know.
You can't put Heidi Fleiss in jail. Yes, I know it's the wrong coast, but you can't put Heidi Fleiss in jail if you're secretly fucking her. It's not fair.
I would agree with that statement. Anyway, so now we're down to Paul Ryan acting like he's going to take the job. But
apparently not, because my understanding, and I just looked again briefly today, but the Freedom Caucus is fronting a guy from Florida named Daniel Webster. Have you heard of this guy? No, I'm not talking about the dude behind the dictionaries.
No, I realize that. I'm laughing. I mean, it's like, this just keeps changing every 5 minutes.
I know. And, you know, so one of the headlines that I read before we got on tonight is that 10 of the 36 members of the Freedom Caucus said that they would wholeheartedly reject Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan apparently has basically said, unless I have 100% report or support, I'm not going to do this.
Right, which I don't think he's going to get.
No.
And Salon has an article called Paul Ryan is an arrogant clown drunk on domestic flatterers lying about how ... See, that's not journal. By the way, guys, that's not journalism.
But it's really fucking funny nonetheless.
It's fucking hilarious, but that's not journalism any more than what we're doing is journalism.
Right. I am trying to avoid using
dailymail.co.uk as a fucking source.
I am going to go ahead and put another plug in for Political Gab Fest, which is a Slate.com podcast.
Sure.
Because they have some really good rundowns of some of this stuff. I suspect they'll probably talk about Paul Ryan this week. And one of their hosts is actually John Dickerson, who ended up taking over one of the Sunday morning shows. I can't remember which show right now. Bob Schaefer had it before he did. Anyway, so, you know, yeah, he's a Washington journalist. He's part of the media that's kind of been dissing Bernie Sanders. But they've got some interesting discussion. They're worth listening to.
Yeah.
So, Political Gab Fest.
And the thing was, this was interesting. The Freedom Caucus has determined, at least this was earlier today, and I don't know if it's still valid.
Right.
Because
it changes every minute, literally.
They were demanding that the speaker was going to no longer be able to hand out the committee chairman positions.
Interesting. I don't see Paul Ryan caving to that.
Oh, no speaker that nobody who seriously wants to be Speaker of the House should ever agree to that, because you're going to give up all your power and you'll never get it back. Because if you don't have that to bribe your guys with, what the hell do you have?
Right.
And it's the House, right? And the House was designed in the wisdom of the founding fathers. The House was designed to be a fucking catastrophe.
Well, John Boehner could at least offer really good tanning packages.
I mean, I'm not going to miss Boehner. I'm really not going to miss having to actually act like his name is spelled Boehner.
But, you know, here's the thing. When everything that is set up to succeed, Boehner looks worse. That's pretty scary.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that it's quite possible Boehner doesn't get out, you know?
Right. So a question that I have for you, because you have been paying closer attention to this, and quite frankly, I tried reading these articles today and I was like, this is bullshit. So apparently Paul Ryan has a rather long list of demands. It's not just the demand that you talked about at the beginning, that he wants 100% support, but he's got a huge list of demands that he insists are going to be met before he takes this position.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to know if you have any other commentary on that, because I frankly looked at the articles and thought, I'm not wasting my time reading this shit.
No, and I'm not either, because I don't care if Ryan gets it or not. The the point is more that the clown car is tilting on two wheels off the rails and headed for a cliff at breakneck speed. And there's nobody driving it at the moment. And, you know, they're going to, the house is determined to fuck this up as bad as they can. And that's fine. You know, that's what they're going to do. And, you know, here's the thing. Next election is the next election. And, you know, we're going to get another shot at you guys. But the bigger thing is really looking down the road. Next term, the Supreme Court's hearing a case on gerrymandering. And if they change the way districts are configured as a result of this court case, it's over. Texas is blue. Florida is blue.
I was going to say, all I can say is from your lips to God's ears, because it happens just as badly in Alaska.
Well, yeah, but, you know,
our population is a lot smaller. I recognize that.
You've only got one congressman.
But, you know, it impacts things on a local level. It doesn't necessarily impact our representation on a national level, but it impacts what we see in Juneau in our local legislature.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, but, yeah, if... yeah, so we'll see what happens, because the demographics are against the dying white guys anyway. 10 years, Florida is blue. 10 years, Texas is blue, right? Even with the gerrymandering and stuff. It's just, the numbers continue to go against the dying white guys, of which the House is really the last bastion of dying, or should be dead, white guys, you know? It's a new world, guys. Wake up and smell the coffee. Yeah, holy shit. We had a black guy as president. And now, next time, we're either getting a Jew or a woman. You know? You guys are fucking over.
Oh, God.
So fuck that guy. We want to talk about David Vitter, though.
Okay, dun dun dun. Fuck that guy. This is the second installment of that segment.
I have to be honest. I've been paying attention to all these other guys that deserve their own 5 minutes of fuck that guy. I didn't even know who David Vitter was until today, but I determined that he is the senator, one of the senators from
Louisiana. So you pointed out to me that some of this is old news, and I went back and looked a little closer, and you're right. It's a mixture of old news and news. So in 2007, David Vitter was found to have been frequenting services of prostitutes, and he openly admitted to it once he was finally pressured into making the admission. And he, quote,
his name and number were in her black book.
Exactly. So, Madam in Washington, D.C. And he, quote, admitted to a very serious sin. But here's the interesting thing. No charges have been rendered against him. He is still in Congress. He is running for the governorship of Louisiana. And he's still running as a big pro-life, anti-choice, family values proponent. So, 2007, right? We're talking 8 years ago. But here's the news. So, this week, one of the women that he was sleeping with came forward and said that she actually was impregnated by him in 2000, and he found out, and first of all, told her it wasn't his kid, and then secondly, told her to have an abortion. Which, right. I'm not against abortion, but I think it's really hypocritical for someone who, A, is breaking his marital vows that he holds up as proof that he's a good guy, who, B, says that he's anti-choice, and then tells the person that he knocks up to go and get an abortion.
Right, you know, I mean,
so
again, the problem is that this narrative is just like...
I know, this narrative is really old.
Rinse and repeat, right?
I know.
I'm sorry. Who are we talking about? We're talking about a Republican, right?
I mean, okay, but that's so, part of the so other reason either, I so wanted him to be in this segment, because it is. It's like, again, really, we're telling the story again?
Because, you know, it basically comes down to, A, you got a mistress. B,
You knocked her up.
See, you're looking for hand jobs from same-sex partners in the fucking men's toilet. You know? It's one of those things, right? Or D, you're chasing the male pages around, you know, the house floor and stuff.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, it's just enough, guys. You know, first of all, try going out and getting laid doing what you want to do. This is my first suggestion to you guys. Second of all, shut the fuck up.
And don't tell the rest of us how to do it.
Right.
You know, which I know is a kind of a thing that I'm making my whole second business on, but, you know, I'm trying to say, you're adult, you're consenting, I don't give a shit what you do as long as you're safe and respectful. You know? Okay, A, not safe, B, not respectful, David Vitter.
And so, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. So a couple more things, and then we'll be done with fuck that guy. So apparently the woman that he impregnated decided to carry out the pregnancy, but she did put the child up for adoption. And now she reportedly is terminally ill, which is why she has come forward to, quote, set the record straight, end quote. So, you know, how much of this is true, I'm not entirely sure, but it's pretty suspicious, especially when the dude himself stood up in 2007 and admitted that he was accessing these services of prostitutes.
Right.
I'd also like to point out that he is still married. He has three daughters and a son, which I don't think that his children should be fair game for a political campaign, including the opposite side of the political campaign. But I'm just asking you what he's role modeling to his kids.
Oh, yeah, completely. Completely, you know? Agree.
Go ahead.
The thing is, of course, is that where I'd really like to just, you know, say fuck this guy is that he wasted everybody's time in the Senate
right.
in the last week putting forth the so-called anti-sanctuary city bill, where the Republicans are trying to cut off funding for cities that don't necessarily follow the immigration hoo-ha rules. You know? And the reason it's just bullshit was because it was just to make him look more conservative.
Right.
And everything, because it had no chance of passing out of the Senate. In fact, you know, pretty much went down in flames. And it was
right,
just
he was just sweeping up after this.
Yep. So...
So the other thing that I want to say, and this is not so much about David Vitter, and this is not so much about our segment, but I really am pro-legalization of prostitution. I think that men and women are going to engage in prostitution as both workers and clients. And I think that we need to admit that as a reality, and we need to make sure that the people who are making their living that way are safe and healthy.
Exactly.
You know, so I am completely pro-legalization. I think it gives people a chance to get out if that's not what they want to do. And I think it gives people who want to stay in the business a chance to, you know, make sure that the person that they're meeting is a safe person and to make sure that they get regular testing and good sexual health care so that they're not making themselves or other people sick.
Yep.
So that's my end of fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right. You got to know, by the way.
Yeah, Laverne Cox was just cast as Frankenfurter in the new reimagining of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's a Fox. No way. Oh, by the way, I love Laverne Cox. That is so cool.
Yeah. Here's my problem. It's Fox. So...
I know.
It'll be a travesty no matter what they do.
God, maybe not, because, you know, she's got a lot of star power and a lot of cred right now, so I think
It's not her, it's Fox. If they were saying they were doing this on FX, I might have some hope for it.
Dude, don't break my heart.
Anyway, there you go.
Well, so when is it coming out? Because I have to admit, even if it is Fox, I'm going to look for it because I love Laverne Cox.
There's nothing about it other than just the...
Just the announcement.
Just the announcement.
Okay, so I gotta watch for it. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, and so here's my other oh, by the way, just because it's just the kind of stuff that always drives me nuts about the news media anyway. Khloe Kardashian goes nude for new book after calling off divorce with Lamar Odom. There are so many things wrong in that sentence that, you know... We're just going to go with it and leave it at that.
I just want to go back to the whole idea of safe and legal prostitution and Lamar Odom, and I'm just going to leave that there. So my, oh, by the way, is actually a welcome. I put it out on Facebook and on our Facebook page, but for people who don't know, part of the issue with our delays have been that you've been insanely busy with your business, and I just don't have the tech savvy to take on editing at this point. And I honestly don't have the time to learn it right now between getting back in the house, trying to get another business up and running, and my life is just crazy. And there's going to be more about crazy in upcoming episodes, I promise. some pretty big crazy, I think, in upcoming episodes that I'm just vague booking about right now. Anyway, James Chapman, who is my sister's significant other, I just refer to him as brother-in-law because it's easier, has been a faithful listener, and he has agreed to come on and edit, and I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful that that burden has been taken off of you. I know that there's still some kinks to work out, but I'm confident we're going to get there, and I'm just really grateful to James for stepping up and saying that he was interested in doing it.
Yep. Very happy.
So
very happy. Thanks, James.
Yeah. Way to go, James. So I think, you know, that we've still got some bugs to work out. We're probably still going to be a little bit behind and playing some catch up in terms of getting things released. And I hope people stick with us. But I think ultimately we're going to be much the better for this.
Yeah.
So got anything else?
No.
Okay. So, of course, I have a game and quote to take us out on.
Good.
This is for my friends who are fans of Euripides, so hopefully people will get the allusion that Gaiman makes. Media, I think I've heard of her. Isn't she the one who killed her children?
And
we're out. And if you don't get it, look it up, because it's a pretty funny quote. It's from American Gods.
Yep.
All right, have a great night, everybody.
Be safe.
Yep.
Talk to you next week.
Take care. Tied up inside.